to the January 7th, 2020 council meeting for our brand new year. First, let me approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. Today, we have no recommended changes to the January 7th agenda.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, to approve the agenda as amended, as not amended. Any questions? We'll take the vote.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Next, we have election of council officers. Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. Vincent. As county code and Delaware code requires, the beginning of each year, we have to select the officers of the county council. At this time, I would open the floor for nominations for the election of the position of president for county council.
I make a motion we nominate Mike Vincent.
I have a motion for the election of Mr. Mike Vincent to president of the county council. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any questions on that motion? I will take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Vincent. You are you are the president for another year.
Congratulations.
We also have the vice president.
Okay.
I'll open the floor again for the motion for the election of the position of vice president for county council.
Make a motion. Nominate IG.
I have a motion for Mr. Wilson to nominate IG Burton for vice president of county council for the year 2020. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? If not, I'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
And Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Congratulations, Mr. Burton. Shall I continue?
Well, sure. If you want to roll.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the council member appointments. We also are required to appoint our council members to the various boards throughout which the council serves. I did have information in your packet, and now I have found it myself. The information that I was provided for the appointments this year would include the following. To the Delaware League of Local Governments, Mr. Mike Vincent. To the National Association of Counties, Mr. I.G. Burton. To the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO District 5, Mr. John Riley. To the Sussex Conservation District Board, Mr. Sam Wilson. To the Sussex County Airport Committee, Mr. Doug Hudson. And two members to the Sussex County Land Trust, Mr. I.G. Burton and Mr. John Riley. Unless I have any questions to those appointments, I have a motion for your consideration. I'll read the motion. We move the Sussex County Council approves the 2020 member appointments as presented. Anyone
I'll
like
make,
to?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Vincent makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? I'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Thank you. Next item is the appointment of legal counsel. Contained in your packet was a list of the legal representation that the county purports to use for 2020. We will continue using the firm Moore and Rutt and Mr. Everett Moore as our designated county attorney, and the firm Parkowski, Gerken, Swayze, and Mr. Vince Robertson as our assistant county attorney. I also listed the other firms that we occasionally use for specific reasons, including the Board of Adjustment, bond issuance, personnel matters, Planning and Zoning Commission, and the General Sussex County Council government. Those firms include Ballard Spahr, again, Moore and Rutt, Parkowski, Gerken, Swayze, and Young Conaway, Stargett, and Taylor. Any questions on the selection of legal counsel? If not, I have a motion for your consideration.
Read the motion, please.
We move the Sussex County Council approves the 2020 appointment of legal counsel as presented. Anyone like to make the motion?
I'll make that motion.
Mr. Burton makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? If not, I'll take the vote. Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Thank you. And last is the adoption of our rules of procedure for this year. The rules of procedure mostly stayed consistent to last year. There was one addition that was highlighted in your information that included the new paragraph named 10A.4. This codifies the manner in which the county council must deal with an applicant who fails to appear during the public hearing. That information or that requirement is listed in the county code. Basically says the county council must deny an applicant for the lack of a record. However, it does provide the applicant the ability to submit a petition for reconsideration within 15 days. Again, that whole paragraph codifies what the code requires and our current practice. Other than that, there are no changes to the rules of procedure. Any questions? I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the 2020 Rules of Procedure as presented.
Motion to adopt.
I have a motion from Mr. Riley and a second by Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
And Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. We are official.
Thank you, sir. We had the minutes of December 17th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are several letters in appreciation of grants. They are from the Girl Scouts of Chesapeake Bay, Southern Delaware Therapeutic Riding, Delmarva Council, Boy Scouts of America, Multiplying Good, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Organization, and West Side New Beginnings. Those are the letters.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comment, Mr. Guy. Paul Rieger.
Good morning, happy new year. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. With the recent news, with the planning zoning director leaving or whatever the circumstances are, it's kind of seen to sets the precedent and setting up for what I've been asking for in the last year probably, is with the size of the county, the problems that we're having, and the way that I had seen it, is with the planning and zoning position, it seemed like it was geared more towards planning and strictly that, not going into the zoning, where it seems like a lot more of the problems are in zoning. The county is big enough. You have the income. It's time to have a zoning director and a planning director. Put them on an equal footing so each one can question the other when there's other problems. However, to fix that, somebody can supersede that. But you now have the opportunity to do it. The county is big enough. The county should do it. We all know that the code is, it needs to mean what it says and says what it means. So it's time to do it. You have no reason not to consider that. It may just be a title, but the title has to be a person who knows zoning, another one who knows planning, and fix it. Because if you watch other different meetings continuously, you hear all the discrepancies coming in, and it has to be fixed. The second thing is with, I apologize, I didn't read the packet last night, and I didn't catch that rules change for the denial for an applicant doesn't show up. Now, does that pertain also to if they missed the planning and zoning one and then come into county council with no record at all? Can that 15 days later, for you to give them a new hearing, does that override the planning and zoning not having a record too, where they would just come back for you? I don't know. I didn't read that. I just heard that. I wasn't sure on how that worked. But I just hope that we are finally too going forward for 2020, that we now have the zoning for the setbacks to come in before with the permits, before they're even given or however they're given, that the measurements are done for side yard, rear yard, all that, because it still seems, and still even last night, you asked for what's a front rear setback in an AR1, you still have so many different measurements that can come in that there's not a consistency. Seems to be holding up the builders, holding up the attorneys, holding up going to the next process. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Dan Kramer.
Thank you.
My name is Dan Kramer. On the rules of procedure, are they law? You said code. I want to know if they're code. And if they are, then I suggest you follow them, and you better read them.
Thank you, sir.
They're going to come back and fight you.
DJ Hughes. DJ Hughes. Oh, I see him moving. He's headed up.
Hi, DJ Hughes, 16566 Sweetwater Drive, Milton. I just want to speak briefly on the TID. I understand there's a public hearing coming up soon. Do you guys have a date on that yet?
January 28th.
January 28th, okay. Okay, so with respect to TIDs, they can be good in concept and if they're implemented properly, but any agreement with DelDOT, and I know we'll have a chance to comment on this later, but just want to emphasize it needs to make sure that DelDOT actually funds and constructs the improvements in a reasonable time period, i.e. not 20 years. Like Kings Highway, for example, that's been a documented legally binding agreement with DelDOT and the developers since 2009. It was identified in the 2007 DelDOT planning study. They don't anticipate finishing construction until 2028. Or beyond, and that's even with developer dedicated right-of-way, developer funding. So, you know, the success of the TID is going to require two things. That's basically full or almost full development within the build-out, or full build-out within the TID zone. So I think everybody needs to understand that these unit prices, whether it's residential or commercial, that is all, from what I understand, based on full build-out. And then DelDOT kicks in the rest. But if you don't have that full build-out, then DelDOT's going to be responsible for more. So a lot of these projects are in the CTP, but I think the county needs to have some kind of teeth, if you will, to make sure that these projects get identified and then constructed in a reasonable time frame, whether it's 24. We've been talking about dual lanes, 24, probably close to 20 years as well. So I just want to make that point on the TID. Secondly, I think I've already sent this letter to at least Todd and IG, but when I'm done here, I know I got a minute left, Mr. Vincent. The City of Lewis sent a letter to DelDOT for projects on Route 1, and this was also a recommendation of the Five Points Working Group, which I'm a member of, asking them to reprioritize the projects and not take the light at 16 out and grade separate Cave Neck Road and then Minus Conaway Road first. We'll read quickly from a couple points from the City of Lewis letter. They said that requests to Route 16 overpass be delayed until intersection upgrades between 16 and 5 points are complete. Request DelDOT reconsider sequencing of these upgrades, eliminating the traffic signal at 16 prior to upgrades further south to reduce safety and increase the number of serious crashes further south along the corridor. Spacing created by the signal at 16 provides brakes in the left turns. I think most of us that travel in the area know that. You can watch that crossover fill up. When the cycle at 16 turns red, you get the gap, you can cross. When it turns green, you can't cross. And I know my time's up, so I'm going to hand this letter in, but I think that's something the county should consider for the safety of its residents.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President, I misspoke earlier. The DelDOT MOU public hearing is January 28th. The DelDOT TID is February 5th.
Okay. Thank you.
Apologize.
Why don't we, it is time for a public hearing, but let's do the recognition of our retiree first so the employees can not sit through all this stuff.
Very good. Thank you. We'll move to the agenda for the recognition of retiree Mr. Rob Davis, the Engineering Department, Utility Planning. I have a tribute here I'd like to read and a plaque that we'd like to present, Mr. President. Tribute from the Sussex County Council, be it hereby known to all, that Sussex County Council commends Rob Davis, Engineering Utility Planning, for devotion, loyalty, and excellence in serving Sussex County from February 28, 1988 to December 31st, 2019, 31 years and 10 months. Sussex County Council extends its thanks and congratulates and directs this tribute to be presented to Rob Davis with wishes of happiness and good health. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, Council President. Congratulations, Rob.
I'll hold this. We'll get a couple photo ops here, and we'll let you have a microphone if you like it.
By goods. Enjoy your retirement. Well deserved.
Started out well.
If you would like to make any comments, please help yourself to the microphone.
We'll give you this. I would say that working for County Council for 31 years, 10 months, has been a wonderful thing. I've enjoyed virtually every minute of it. I've met great people, have great friends from here. But I'm also looking forward to retirement. Today's award, I thank you very much for. It's the icing on the cake. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Rob.
We'll move on to the agenda now to 10:15 public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing to restate and clarify the Code of Sussex County relating to the establishment of annual service charges and determination of the amount of charge. It's Mr. Medlars will be making a short presentation. After that presentation, there will be an opportunity for the council to ask questions. Subsequent to that, any member of the public that would like to address this issue may do so. If you desire to do so, come to the front podium, give us your name and address, and make your statement to the council. After that is over, the council does have the opportunity to act on this today. Mr. Medlars.
Thank you, Councillor. Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. This is a clarification restatement. It was an ordinance originally posted and introduced by you in the correct form. However, we had a different version going to the public hearing. So this is the restatement and correcting and adding the words and treatment bay to the evaluation of hospitals and treatment centers. So that that in a nutshell is really the background.
Any questions, Council? Any questions?
No. If not, is there any member of the public that would like to come forward and address this issue? Is there any member of the public here that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record and act on the matter.
We'll close the public hearing. Is it okay with council? Close the public record. And Mr. Morbid, a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to restate and clarify the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 110, Article 13, Roman numeral section 110-88, subsection D, relating to the establishment of annual service charges, determination of amount of charge.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Revert back now to Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. Last item for me is the County Administrator's Report for January 7th, 2020. Item 1, the Delaware State Police Year-to-Date Activity Report for November 2019 is attached, listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 194 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of November. Item 2, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, the estuary, Phase 2 through 3 construction record in Governor's Phase 3B received substantial completion effective December 12, 2019. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have one item. It is more of a housekeeping item.
We have received correspondence from the State of Delaware Finance requesting that unused portion of the county's annual private activity bond volume cap be reassigned to the, back to the state. The state plans to request the federal government to carry the unused portion for an additional 3 years to be used for the state housing for qualified mortgage bonds. The annual allotment of private activity bond allocation expires annually from the federal government, but can be carried forward up to 3 years for certain purposes if requested by the state issuer. And just as a reminder, private activity bonds are tax-exempt bonds issued by public entities to provide low-cost financing for private projects that serve a public purpose. Typically, every year we reassign the unused portion back to the state, and then in return, the state will reassign us the funds back in a similar amount. So I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council reassign the county's 2019 unused private activity bond volume cap of $31,765,000.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
5 yes, motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Eric Littleton, Airport Advisory Committee member appointments. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President, Council. How y'all doing this morning?
Great.
Very good. I'm here to request your permission or approval of our 2020 Airport Advisory Council members. Okay. I have a motion.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoints Gus Kroll, Garrett Dernoga, Rick Garner, Larry Kelly, Jeffrey Reed, Mark Ryan, Ray Hopkins, and Scott Thomas to the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee for 2020.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Second. Mr. Burton, second. Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Robert Stewart. Here comes all the good news.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Council. Good morning, visitors and guests. This is a big day, a big deal for Sussex County, for Sussex County Council, for the administration, and for our department. It has been a long time coming, but we have achieved national accreditation from the Commission on the Accreditation of Ambulance Services. And I'd like to take a moment to introduce my team, and then Rob Mock, the project manager, will give a few remarks. Sure. I have with me today Deputy Director of Operations, Robbie Murray, Manager of Quality and Standards, Mr. Rob Mock, Education Coordinator, Mr. Ed Engdahl, Fred Haas, who's the shift commander on duty. He's going to be in a jumpsuit here in a few minutes. And Dr. Paul Cowan, one of our medical directors, and Bobby Schoonover, our manager of logistics. And more importantly, all the men and women that serve Sussex County, our paramedics are out on the street today doing the job that is the most important. We have the pleasure of being here today to be recognized, and we thank you for the opportunity to do that. I know one politician who said not long ago something was a big deal. This is a big deal. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rob Mock. About 2 years ago, we appointed Rob Mock as the project manager for the department, and Rob has done an outstanding job of getting us to the finish line. I'd like Rob to have the opportunity just to say a few remarks.
While you're right there, Bob, if you would, just for the public's information, some people might think it's taken a long time mm-hmm. for our permit to be accredited by somebody, but explain why we couldn't before.
About a dozen years ago or so, we contacted CAS because our fellows from the north, Newcastle County, were looking to get accredited. And unfortunately, at that time, we did not have any ambulances where Newcastle County did, and they only accredited services that had ambulances. So we did not have an ambulance, therefore we did not qualify. When they relaxed that restriction a few years ago, we began to ramp back up our efforts to get accredited. We feel like all along we've been operating at a high standard. I will tell you that this whole process did point out some things that we needed to improve on, but it looks at a broad area. And I'm going to let Rob talk just for a few minutes about some of the areas that they looked into. Mr. Rob Mock.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share some of this excitement with everybody. As Director Stewart said, the fact that we didn't have ambulances kind of stood in our way for many years. As we initiated this project and started down this road many years ago, we looked at several different organizations that offer this type of an accreditation. We settled on CAS, the Commission on the Accreditation of Ambulance Services, because they did seem to be the top notch. They did seem to maintain the gold standard. There's some other similar organizations that have more of a focus on critical care transport that didn't so much apply to our organization or our operations. So that's why we ultimately settled where we were. And once they relaxed the restriction that we did not have to have an ambulance, we were able to proceed and move forward. When I took over the project about 2 years ago, the whole project started with an internal self-assessment where we took the over 115 individual standards that we had to prove that we met. We had to prove that we met all of those standards pretty much with 100% compliance before we could even submit the application. So it was a two-year process to go through every individual item, gather the documentation, make any necessary operational or administrative changes to show that we met that standard. We did that with the help of everybody standing behind me, everybody out working in the streets, and most importantly, with the help and support of you as the council, with the county administration, and we were able to pull everything together. We submitted the paper application, which was 5 thumb drives that we sent off to the commission. They reviewed everything, and then from there, they would ask for clarification on an item or two. We had very little that we had to clarify in the second round, a couple of just housekeeping type details. They then sent 2 on-site evaluators to come out and visit Sussex County for 2 days to actually see in person and firsthand that we were actually doing what we said on paper that we were doing. Very quickly, they were impressed by our county, by our the support of the administration and the leadership behind this entire project. They dove into files to make sure that we were maintaining the appropriate records. They looked at the finances of the operation to make sure that we were recording and reporting back how we were using the taxpayers' money. They went out and talked to our paramedics in the streets and visited our stations to make sure that stations were maintained in a clean and safe environment. This whole process dealt as much with the employee side of our operations as it does with the clinical side. They wanted to make sure that we had medical director involvement, and they were very impressed with the level of involvement that we have from Dr. Bristow and Dr. Cowan on an ongoing basis. At the end of the day, or at the end of day 2, they commented that how impressed they were with our paramedics, or with your paramedics, how friendly they were, how inviting and welcoming they were into the station. And they said, you can imagine that when we walk into an organization to really look at them and really look at how well they're functioning, we don't always get a very warm welcome. And they said that was the complete opposite with Sussex County paramedics. Everybody was very warm, very welcoming. And I know Bob will appreciate this comment. They commented on how clean our trucks were. but it's that level of detail that they look at, and something as clean as, or something as seemingly minimal as a clean truck, really details the level of commitment by our staff to make sure that not only is the truck clean, but the supplies are in order, the medications are in date and ready to go out and treat a patient. And at the end of the day, it really comes down to our ability to go out and provide top-notch patient care. Their final comment before they left was congratulations on achieving a perfect score on the site evaluation. The panel of commissioners will be meeting in December. This took place back in November. And at that point, they'll make the final determination on your accreditation status. So it was no surprise, but it was a very welcome and relaxing or relieving email to receive on December 23rd when I got the notice that we had achieved the national accreditation. I had very clear direction that if this did not go well, I probably wouldn't be standing here today, and certainly not in this uniform. So I'm very happy to be standing here today. So with that, we have a full 3-year national accreditation. In 3 years, we will go through the process again because it's not just a one-time prove it and you're done. They want to make sure that we're maintaining our standard. We want to make sure that we're elevating our game. And over time, the standards will change. The standards will probably get stricter and to ultimately make sure that we're doing the right things. So we will revisit this in 3 years, and we will be successful again in 3 years. So with that, I thank you very much for your support, the support of the county administration. We could not have done this without some of our partners, the Emergency Operations Center. They were instrumental in this whole process. The HR department, they were very helpful and very instrumental. And I'm sure I'm leaving other departments out, but it was the entire county coming together to make this possible. So with that, I say thank you.
Well, certainly on behalf of council, thank all of you. I mean, thank administration, thank the team that put this together. We all realize that it involves everybody, from the newest medic you've got to the most senior person, doing a great job. And you certainly do. We're all very proud of what you do in this county. And your medical directors, Dr. Cowan, Dr. Briscoe, do a great job. We appreciate that. But congratulations. You got Christmas 2 days early. But thank you all for all you do, and please, to your staff and all the medics, carry out our thanks to them for all they do for our public. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we dismissed?
You are.
Also want to give a shout out to Everett Moore and his team. We spent a lot of time getting our SOPs and SOGs up to legal standards, just to make one thing. And thanks to Gina for the money.
Thank all to you. Mr. Medlars, come right back up, my friend.
Good morning again, Council. We have several items before you. A couple of fun items considered for introduction. The first one is associated with the sewer services to Wolf Run. Take you back a little bit. Wolf Run is an existing subdivision. It has been in the sewer district for a long time. We've been working with the association. We had the full support of the association and the board. You decided to authorize the county engineering department to submit the request for funding to the state under the annual submittal process. We are on the intended use plan, and then we decided between the finance department and the engineering department that this particular project and the next one up would be best if we asked the USDA Rural Development for a funding component, and they have issued us the letters of conditions, and we are ready to proceed to the next step, would be to issue the borrowing ordinances associated with this project. So I've reached out to the Wolf Run Association. I told them the offer on the table. They fully understand the rates associated with it and appreciate greatly our work on this behalf. So if you see so fit, I would ask you to please introduce the first one.
Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $1,701,000 of general obligation bonds in Sussex County in connection with the extension of sanitary sewer services to Wolf Run and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
I'll introduce it. Somebody wants to introduce this.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Raleigh introduced it. Thank you, sir. And next, Mr. Moore, you've got another one.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $1,526,000 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the extension of sanitary sewer services to Mallard Creek and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Mr. Burton introduced it. Thank you. Next, sir.
Just to follow up on the Mallard Creek, Mr. President, we the engineering department is scheduled to meet with the full association membership Saturday 18th. We will convey that and then work with them towards the implementation of the project. So the next one up is the Western Sussex Transmission Facilities contract number 3. And it's out of sequence. If you see the memo, we had contracts 1, 2, and 4. And there was a reason for this. It had to do with the easement acquisition and the right-of-ways, as well as the Delta permitting. And Delta permitting was somewhat tricky, as you understand, and we have achieved all of these. We did end up bidding the project. We do have enough funding to award this particular contract, which will allow us to continue down the road of the, let's say, schedule compliance, because we are supposed to literally flip the switch by the end of this year and send the flow from the Western Sussex area down to the Seaford treatment plant. So with this contract in place, we will have the opportunity to do that, and it looks so far that all our schedules are progressing accordingly. So we probably have about a couple of weeks of play. So hopefully we'll get this done by the end of the year, but it will be, if not by the end of the year, very, very shortly thereafter. So that is sort of a companion memorandum which goes with the second or the third item on the fourth item on the list. But I want to assure you we do have the funds in place to award this contract contingent upon the DNRC concurrence. You may recall this was a 100% state-funded project.
We have a motion for you first.
We have a motion for the consideration. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that contract 19-27 Western Sussex Transmission Facilities Contract 3, Route 13 Alternate and Herring Run Road, force mains be awarded to Adel Construction Company for their base bid of $2,980,602, contingent upon DNRC concurrence.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
We should have made $300 million, been done with.
Say this again.
We came that close, we should have made $3 million instead of 98 cents.
Yes, that's interesting. Yeah. Sometimes you wonder how these amounts arrive, but remember these are unit prices, so the tables are tabulated and the mass spits out at the end. So
more questions? Take a vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next thing, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. And you are certainly the champion of the Western Sussex project and have been extremely supportive of this. So you probably appreciate our next memorandum, which deals with where we need to go to close it out. The first four contracts allow us to send the flow south. But the last two contracts really deal with, or the last, I should say, three contracts, because we already have started the green project, the Bridgewell Branch Restoration. But the plant demolition and the maintenance garage, which would really allow us, A, to restore the site to the original condition, and B, position some of our forces on the west side of the county, they have not yet been funded due to the shortfall. And that shortfall, in the broad sense of the word, deals with the ever-changing restoration requirements in the right-of-ways and the sometimes even the changes in the on-site, which deal with as we progress, what we have to do temporarily versus what we have to do over the length of the contract. So when you tally it all up, we can clearly document that the majority of this request, the additional funding request, is associated with that. We have managed, believe it or not, that our contracts are within our estimates, would we believe reasonable, and which we put forward initially. So if we hadn't run into these issues, we would not be making that request. So we feel very strongly, both finance director and I, that the council should A, authorize us, and B, make sure that we state to this, we convey this to the state of Delaware, that we feel we should be, our customers should not be held to any higher standard than the median household income threshold of 1.5%, which was considered under the initial application. And I gave you these numbers here, and I certainly had this discussion with our friends at DNRC, and they understand that you will be considering this today. And as soon as you give us the green light for the authorization to submit, we will be submitting the request, and I will be presenting our request at the Water Infrastructure Council for consideration later on this year, probably fairly early this spring, because we cannot proceed to the next project, and the next project with the implementation of the Bridgewell Branch Restoration, because at this point, after the award of contract three, we are essentially out of funds.
Okay. Do you have a motion?
Yes, I do have a motion. It's carefully crafted. And I gave you the background documentation. You saw the letters we received from DNRC, as well as the initial presentation which was made at the council. Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering and Finance Departments that the Sussex County Council authorizes the submission of a supplemental funding request to DNRAC in the amount of $600,000 for the Western Sussex District Area Expansion Project under the same affordability standards as the original funding package.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
I got a question.
Mr. Burton.
So the council would then vote to accept the billing rate?
No, the council accepts to fund or makes the recommendation to the secretary of DNRC to fund the request, the supplemental funding request. They also make a recommendation on the breakdown of the loan versus loan forgiveness. If you look at the original narrative, you see the Western Sussex project was at the threshold of the guidelines at 1.5%. And we believe, and hopefully you support us, that we should not be held to a higher standard than originally applied for and accepted in our acceptance of the original letter of conditions.
And that's a vote that council will take,
mm-hmm.
yes or no,
exactly.
Which is contingent on whether this goes forward.
And normally that step you see here does not take place. But because it's such an interesting, you know, there's such an interesting dynamic, we could have probably, the finance director and I could have made that submittal, but you would have not known the history behind it and how we arrived at this. So we felt it was important that you as council authorize us to do the exact steps that outlined in the motion.
Okay. Thank
More
you.
More questions?
Take a vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried.
Next, thank you, Mr. President. Next one, you may recall that, make sure that I'm on the right
track. I think we're ahead of one.
I got my memos mixed up. Let me get the right one. The next one is the building demo, and these are the building demo licenses. It's a plural. You remember this was the future EMS site, as well as the old church building Tarrant County acquired under the purchase of the farm on the Hollyville Road. So the two of them were bid out, and we had only one change order. Everything else was within the lump sum prices and the unit prices as bid, and the one change order was associated with the asbestos at the old church building, and that was remediated, and you see that $2,200 for that change order included. So the closeout of the project would include award of the change order and the release of all the retainers and grant of substantial completion. So now that prepares both sites for the next phase, i.e. we will be farming the one site and we will be building our EMS station on the other, hopefully.
Good. You have a motion?
Do we have a motion, yes. Be it removed based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the change order number one for contract 20-C20-03, building demolition and site restoration, be approved, increasing the contract amount by $2,200 for a new contract total of $62,148.75, and that substantial completion be granted effective December 19, 2019, and any retainage be released in accordance with the contract documents.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption. Mm-hmm.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions?
My question is,
Mr. Wilson.
I thought it was about out of funds. You said back before you started reading this last one. Did you say it was about out of funds? The funds back going?
No, the
that was for the Western Sussex
the
sewer.
The previous
site.
One
is how we're getting this, where this money's come from then.
Correct. The previous one, Councilman, the award of contract three puts us to a limit of funds expended between the contracts and the engineering. This particular one here uses available county funds. We are not capped. We do have the additional $2,200.
We're going to borrow it, right?
No, we haven't. We have it.
We have the funds. This would be eligible for real duty transfer tax.
Any more questions? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I have a motion carried. Next, sir.
Next one is a continuation of our previous discussion on the large South Coastal project. And if you recall, in the lengthy South Coastal memo, we identified the various components associated with the South Coastal project. One of these components was the acquisition of a mobile belt filter press, which we would use in various situations. The first one would be at the South Coastal project to set up a temporary dewatering while the South Coastal dewatering building is upgraded. The next stop would be potentially Rehoboth and or Wolf Neck. So we have several stops for this unit, and then it will be used over several years. So this is a unit which is not just a one-time run, but it is, when you look at what our estimate and the engineer's estimate was to keep the just the South Coastal dewatering building running while they're doing the upgrades, was over $300,000. It was actually $350,000. This particular, as you see, the bid we're recommending is under $300,000. So just that one saving alone was the right thing to do from a standpoint of acquiring this unit in the long run. So this was a best value bid, which is interesting. We advertised these with, and you saw it listed, we had the new, like new, and refurbished, and they all have their standards, and you can submit, the bidder can submit one of each or all of each. So we got four bids when it came in and we evaluated them. You see two ranked 100%. So in this case, when we have an equal ranking, we take the one of the lower number. As it's a fully refurbished unit, if you concur with us, and then we will make the award contingent upon field inspection. The team is going out to inspect it after your positive review of the motion. And when the report comes back, then between Ms. Jennings and I, we make a decision whether we have the unit delivered for $4,500 or whether we'll send one of our teams out to pick it up with our road tractor. One or the other will do so. Right now, I'm only asking you to award the contingent upon inspection, the actual purchase, not the delivery, which we may elect to do or not do.
Okay. You have a motion?
We have a motion. Be it moved, based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that contract M20-15 mobile belt press procurement be awarded to Kirshner Environmental Technologies for the alternative bid one in the amount of $295,000, contingent upon successful on-site inspection.
Pleasure, Council. Move for adoption. Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Any questions?
Mr. Riley. One quick one. I mean, it's a refurbished unit. Is it fully warrantied?
Yes. And it has
how easy is it to get service on it should you have an issue?
That was one of the evaluation criteria. This particular company has the closest service, is the closest service provider that gave them the full points on that particular category. So we work with them routinely. The other company, which was the higher bid, equal 100%, 100 points also, but they don't have the same service record with us.
Yeah.
So that sort of between the bid price and the service record made us go with Kirshner.
I mean, if I could have a second, this is the reason this pops in my mind is the issue we've had in the press about the problems in Lewis recently. And my understanding is that the county has the ability to, we send some of our effluent to them. We have the ability to shut off the flow in the event they have a problem, which we did. But we're working on getting the potential for them to send product to us if need be, which I think is a great idea. And I'd love to see our whole system integrated in a way that should a plant have a problem, it's it could be, you know, remedied by, you know, redirecting to another plant.
And it works both ways. If I may.
Certainly.
I want to say, Commissioner, it's a statement and a question.
Yeah.
So I agree with your statement that interconnectivity provides flexibility and avoids permit violations.
Right.
I think that's a key statement. And you are also correct that the Lewis Board of Public Works is, or I should say, in my discussions with the administration of the Lewis Board of Public Works. It is my understanding that the item to make the connection bidirectional is under consideration by the board.
Good.
So that is my understanding, discussing it with the administrators. Secondly,
go ahead.
Just to follow up on this other one, we are currently implementing the Rehoboth interconnection along Route 1,
right,
which is designed in bidirectional. And you know that you've authorized, and Georgetown Council is considering the bidirectional opportunities at the airport in connection with our wastewater agreement with Artesian Resources.
Right.
So this would round out three of our agreements, which could potentially in the very near future be all three bidirectional.
Yeah, I think it's definitely moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But I guess I said that to also ask the question, would this unit longer term be available in the event of an emergency at another facility?
That's a very interesting comment. The unit in itself does not have enough throughput to carry the entire flow, for example, even in the wintertime flow of Lewis. But it would have significantly reduced the solids being discharged. So I would say you could have, obviously, yes. The answer is yes, we already plan on making this unit available to Rehoboth under our agreement. Strangely enough, another discussion between the administration of the board and the county engineering department pertains to just that equipment sharing, which is covered in our Rehoboth agreement, but it's not part of our Lewis agreement.
So how's the pipe refurbished start with? What do you do to refurbish it?
All the wear parts are replaced. So essentially you're starting with the frame of the press, all the bearings.
He coughed, I didn't hear you.
Sorry.
Yeah, but all the bearings are replaced, the rollers are replaced, and all the sleeves are replaced. So you get the old frame.
Yep.
And you get the frame obviously on a trailer, it's trailer mounted, and you get the fully refurbished control system with it. So when you buy these units brand new, they run about $500,000. As you can see, the new prices was $550,000. So this is the same press, same throughput, actually the same manufacturer. So here you see 300 buys a fully refurbished unit, 550 buys you a new unit.
So the questions? So the wheels, the frame's all the same?
The frame stays the same, yes.
Okay, we'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Good to see you after the new year. I know you're saving up for us. Ms. Cornwell.